Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And thank you so much for tuning in. Hope everybody's had a good week. Today we are talking about a demon called Zozo, or Zaza, whatever, however you've heard of him.
Zosu, they
yeah, there's so many.
They interchange the Z and the S.
Yeah,
and
yeah, we decided to do a demon episode. We've already done, you know, kind of folklore, alien. And now I think it's time for a demon. Hopefully maybe we could do a possession. That would be great.
This one would kind of go hand in hand with that.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Because
more of like, there's more molestation than there is possession.
Yeah.
Kind of messing with people.
Yeah, Zozo is definitely more of a, almost like a succubus or an incubus in this case. You know, because incubus and succubus are obviously synonymous with, you know, the
band.
Absolutely. You know, essentially they go through and they sexually molest you while you sleep.
Yeah.
You know, take full advantage. So I think, you know, Zozo has definitely got some roots and origins in that. Yeah.
But before we get into this, please make sure you follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode. Share our podcast everywhere with anyone who loves, who loves anything scary. We try to hit on kind of all topics. So let's get into this demon Zozo. The Zozo demon is a demon that is said to be contacted through Ouija board. Some accounts say that it usually tries to disguise itself as someone else, such as, you know, a loved one or just something, some other spirit, a nicer spirit, you know, because it is not a good spirit. It's a demon. But once it's revealed, it usually reveals itself, you know, by not moving the planchet, like trying to keep it from.
Oh, it'll do like several different things. Like in different accounts, it's like some telltale symbols that it's Zozo is the planchet moves on its own. In certain cases, it's been recorded that it moves in a figure eight pattern.
Yeah. Or figure eight's been popped up a lot.
And a rainbow.
Yeah.
The rainbow having a lot too, which I find kind of like eerily strange, because obviously a rainbow is the symbol that in Christian faith the Lord gave us to show that he would never basically destroy the earth with water ever again.
Yeah.
So it's a covenant with God, and for this to basically go through and mirror the rainbow, you know, I could totally believe that when I read all these accounts. I was like, yeah. That definitely stands to reason. It also moves in a figure eight or a infinity symbol.
Yeah.
So but yeah, it's like they said, and a lot of the accountings, if I don't know what ones you read in specifics, but a lot of the accountings as of late, it not only presents itself as like a child or something that is, you know, exuding innocence, it also, it comes out a lot of times as almost like a, you know, a famous person.
Yes.
Or a person of, you know, some regard, like a politician. You know,
yeah, I've read a lot of that too, where people are, you know, they try to, especially they're trying to, I think it's when they're trying to do, trying to contact somebody specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually they'll get the response, but it might not be the same person, or it might not be that person in general. It could just be Zozo in disguise. But yeah, I've read some stories that were, yeah, it was a famous person that they were trying to that he was disguising as. I've seen a lot of that. Of some of the ones I've read too.
And it was weird, like in doing my, you know, research for this, I did a lot of things when I was younger that were completely stupid.
Yeah.
Like I think we all did, but definitely on this front, I can definitely say that I don't know if in particular, I think I had contact with someone else because I remember the name, but I will never tell anyone the name.
Yeah.
But I was looking, me and my very close friend in junior high were trying to contact Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember why the hell we were trying to contact Abraham Lincoln, but we were essentially using, you know, just a Ouija board that we had assembled at the house. And, you know, you had a piece of notebook papers, you know, your planchette, and we were moving it around. And It was weird because the name that revealed itself to me also started, it started with X, but it kind of proceeded to go to a Z. And so when I was doing the homework for this, it was really like, it really touched on some things. I actually, in all honesty, I had to pray after doing a lot of this research.
Because
I can say that this is not something I would recommend, you know, going into lightly.
Yeah. When we do this stuff too, like a lot of the stuff, like, you know, like we did La Llorona or those stuff like that. Those are folklores that we've had in our childhood that, you know, you kind of like, oh, it could be real. It's not. So there's not so much attached to it because it is folklore. It's been watered down for so many years. Whereas these, they're still kind of living beings in their own way. So when you kind of put your mind into, or when you dive into these things, you do have to be very careful because you can also contact something else that you might not want, you know. So, yeah, a lot of praying was done doing this research. I mean, and it's not like heavy, like, evil stuff that we're looking into. But, you know, if you put your mind there, you can invite something pretty dark.
Yeah.
By putting your mind in there. But, yeah, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, totally. That's, you know, that was definitely, like, the point I was trying to make was, you know, you have to be aware of things like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, a lot of the other, you know, topics that we've obviously addressed, most of it, you know, we mostly do movie reviews.
Yeah.
And some of the folklore stuff comes into play, but it's not like you actually physically call, in most cases, on the entity. You don't, you know, you don't call upon Kokopelle. Kokopelle, like, just comes to you, you know. They're tricksters. They do stuff like that. There's malicious intent to an extent, but nothing on the level of something, the level of Zozo.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been, you know, like the comparisons and everything that they draw throughout all the history. Like, I mean, he goes back eons.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. He goes back actually before Christ, if you do the, you know, the actual.
Yeah.
And he's compared to essentially the demon legion.
Yeah, that, which would be, yeah, many demons.
Yeah,
that conjured together. Yeah.
And so he is essentially, you know, he is a strong, you know, strong spiritual force. And I, you know, I would tread lightly if I was to do, you know, an investigation like this again.
Yeah. But, you know, curiosity, I know, takes people. Just take caution if you do decide to dive into stuff like this. We get, you know, there's mystery in the world and people want to know everything and kind of look for different things, and especially, you know, if there's something on the other side of the veil, we always want to see if there's something else over there. But, you know, if you're going into murky waters, man, you don't know what's below, so just be careful. doing this research, I was very cautious of what I was, you know, kind of the headspace, playing good music, not, you know, getting good energy while I'm doing this research of dark things.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped myself a couple times because I was just, you know, I do most of my research after my wife's gone to bed and my son's gone to bed.
Yeah.
And so it's night. My house is pretty quiet. I do have multiple animals. And so, yeah, just sitting there all alone in a quiet house, which is completely foreign to my house. And, yeah, a lot of things just really struck nerves, especially when I was reading, you know, a lot of the recounts of, you know, the Oklahoma cases with Darren Evans.
Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff, you know, there were several different takes, but some of the stuff that comes out of, like, his actual book, because Darren Evans actually is probably, as of recent times, he's one of the main people to have contact with the Zozo demon.
Yeah, it's the most infamous story.
Yeah, and so he has a book called The Zozo Phenomenon. And it recounts basically his experience with him and his friend, well, him and his girlfriend at first.
Yeah.
Coming across, you know, a Ouija board under his girlfriend's house when they were in high school. And it was surrounded by four jars with four rotting blackbirds inside. And he brought it up, and the book essentially recounts everything that happened with his experience, which, I mean, it gets really trippy. But once again, that's the whole celebrity thing.
Yeah, that's one thing, too. Because
this guy was really down to contact AC/DC's original lead singer, Bon Scott.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dame and I both being, like, you know, pretty metalheads ourselves, I was like, when I read, like, the Bon Scott thing, I'm like, yeah, I could totally picture us being, like, adolescents, you know, trying to contact Bon Scott or something. So,
yeah, that was the weird part about it. And I get, you know, if you've never heard of him, he does appear on an episode of Ghost Adventures. I believe it's, like, in season, like, 10 or something like that. Or I could be wrong. But, yeah, rewatching the episodes, like, and I told you this before we recorded, you know, watching when I was younger, I was very intrigued by it, which I'm still intrigued by, you know, the supernatural and stuff like that. But watching when I was younger, it's kind of one of the, like, shows that kind of got me into the spooky stuff and all that. But rewatching it now that I'm older, I'm like, oh man, it is kind of cheesy. Like, you know. Some of these people could just be, you know...
They could be hamming it up, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, I'm not discrediting his story. It could absolutely be true. And I'm not a skeptic. Like, I'm not, you know... I do believe in the supernatural. I'm just talking about, like, the way he presents it was very off to me.
I think with that, I don't know if you watched the Darren Evans version of, like, his podcast and stuff where he presents it, and just looking at, like, clips that he's released, he comes off a lot more genuine than that episode did. That episode, I feel, you know.
Well, yeah, and it was, yeah.
It was a double cheese, but I kind of get that. No offense to Ghost Adventures. I lived in Vegas for 11 years. Like, I've met Zach Bagans. Like, literally, like, I respect what he does to an extent. But yeah, there's definitely some comedy mixed in, kind of like what we do here. Like we're talking about a serious episode, but yeah, like the whole Bon Scott thing, yeah, that's kind of amusing. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I think for Zach Bagans, it definitely took more. It was Zach Bagans' version of Daryl's story.
Yeah.
Darren's story.
Yeah. You, and of course, too, they are a network. They are a show. They have to entertain.
They need ratings.
Yeah. I'm assuming that, you know, there was retakes of certain things where, you know, maybe Darren had to say stuff differently or say it, you know, with more oomph, or I guess you could say, or more passion or whatever.
Or his girlfriend had to unbutton her pants, a couple more buttons or whatever kind of goofy stuff they had going on there.
Yeah. So that one, yeah, I just wanted to re-watch that to kind of get into the space of all of this that we're talking about. But, you know, listening to his story, there is very, like, man, you know, you do get obsessed with, you know, especially if something wants you to be obsessed, because he was obsessed after it. You know, once he got kind of the answers he was looking for, you know, he did come into contact with this thing called Zozo and got the answers that he was kind of looking for, or just answers in general that this thing was giving him. He did get obsessed with it. He did become very, very obsessed with Ouija and with.
Yeah, you know, he still to this day, he actually still holds like little, like, seance deals where you can come and be a part of it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because you can kind of see, like, his first... So, obviously, his girlfriend in high school was Brenda. And Brenda and he were the first ones to kind of do the whole let's go, you know, do the Bon Scott thing.
Yeah.
But then he found a like-minded spirit in his best friend, Randy. Yeah. And he goes through and he actually... You know, and this is obviously, this wasn't really touched on in the Ghost Adventures episode.
No, there was a lot that was left out.
But Darren Evans recounts about his friend, which was his best friend, Randy. And he and Randy went through and they started visiting it. And they would go out and they would drink, like, you know, like high school guys do.
Yeah.
And after school, they'd go out and drink. And then they'd all meet up at, you know, Darren's place. And they'd start essentially, like, you know, a session.
Yeah.
So, as they were using this Ouija board, they went through and, like I said, they were trying to contact Bon Scott. Well, the first contact with Zozo, but they obviously believed that it was Bon Scott, they were sitting there in the room playing the Ouija board, and this kind of like sense chills up my spine.
Yeah.
So, they're sitting there playing on the Ouija board, and they're asking to speak to Bon Scott, and the planchet moves and spells out, "A mate," and anybody who knows anything about Bon Scott knows that he was Australian.
Yeah.
And so that was like quintessential because this knew who they were trying to speak to. And then as they go through, they were still drinking and such. And LaPlanchette moves and asks for a cigarette. So Brandy takes one. Darren takes one. They both start smoking. And they light a cigarette and they put it in the center of the Oracle, in the center of LaPlanchette. And something inside of the Oracle actually goes through and starts pulling air out, and the cherry flickers and pulls down on the cigarette. So in this story, Bon Scott, or Zozo, is on the other side of the mirror of the planchet, the veil, smoking a cigarette with them. So you have to think, if you have contact with something of that level of energy,
yeah,
that can literally pierce that veil and come in and do physical, actual things on your plane from another plane.
Yeah, it's not just a ghost. That's
no, it's yeah. not. Yeah, it's not just something yeah. moving. And you know,
one thing too is like, never like drink or, I mean, unless you really want to invite spirits in. I mean, then you do what you want. But I don't think you should be under any kind of influence when you're playing with the Ouija board or doing anything of the spirit world. Yeah, because I think. That's how you can easily get taken. You know, your mind can be, yeah.
Well, yeah, because drinking, it's, you know, there's a reason that, first of all, we call them distilled spirits.
Yeah.
Because they are spirits. And then on top of that, like, the word alcohol is a derivative of the demon's name in Persian, which was Al-Kul. So A-L-K-U-H-L, Al-Kul. And we just change it to alcohol.
Yeah.
But it was a demonic, it was a jinn. And that's why the jinn, or the genie, as you want to call it, lives in the bottle. And that's why distilled spirits come in a bottle. Because you take them, you uncork them, you ingest them, and then that essentially has control of you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and plus, like, another thing, too, is, like, when a lot of encounters happen, and they're like, oh, well, you were probably drunk, whatever. I've never seen spirits when I'm drunk, like, never, like, encountered, like, weird things. I mean, maybe other people have, but like that's like a people who want to debunk like ghost stories and stuff like that. Oh, you were just probably drunk. Well, it's not a, you know, it's not gonna mess with your mind. And that
I've felt a lot of things when I've been drunk, but I mean, I can't ever remember seeing anything true. I mean, I've stumbled into things being drunk and seeing something supernatural, but most of the supernatural stuff that I've experienced in my life has not been with me under, you know,
any kind of influence.
Any substance. Yeah. No. So.
But yeah, sorry. Continue with the story.
No, so they literally, like, that is, you know, that's going to have an effect on you. Because, like I said, I can remember, like I said, I won't go real deep in depth because even to my closest friends and family, I don't ever reveal a lot of the stuff that happened when I was doing stupid stuff. I'm going to emphasize this to anyone listening. The stuff I did as a young man was very stupid, and I live with the name of a demon seared in the back of my brain. And I remember this demon telling me through a Ouija board that I would never forget its name. And here I am. I was 15 years old. Here I am 50 years old. That's 35 years. And trust me, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. I've hit my head a lot of times. I've forgotten more than I could even care to try and recount. But I can tell you I will remember that name. And I knew that when I died, and I mean, obviously I'm going to die, I knew that the day that I would die, it said I would remember that name upon my death. And I know when I go, because I've almost died a couple times, and I remember that name. That's the first thing that came to my mind. So I know it's on the other side waiting for me. Now, my faith protects me from it, and there is a way to get away from it because of my belief system. But the fact that it's still there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, I've talking to Abraham Lincoln, I've seen a planchette and a whole Ouija board burst into fire. I had it, I threw it in my father's fireplace and just watched it burn.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what the hell else could I do?
Yeah. I think I've only messed with the Ouija board one time. Nothing really came of it. We weren't really in a highly active area, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But, you know, we tried and not really got into contact with anything. So after that, I was like, I'm not, you know, that was my one chance to kind of see what this would bring. I don't think I want to do it again. I didn't get a good feeling in the first place
Yeah.
doing it. But no movement came from the besides like friends trying to, you know.
Yeah, friends pushing it a little bit here and there, and you know,
and us joking around. But in a serious note, when we were doing it, we never got anything from it. So, but I was like, at that point, I think I'm good with it. And once I got more into not just horror in general, but also like getting into stuff like this, I'm like, you know what? I don't think if I do go into this, I don't think that's going to be one thing that I mess with at all.
Yeah.
That's one invitation that you just don't need to put out there.
Well, the weirdest part that I find about the whole story is that, okay, so originally Darren and Brandy, his girlfriend, find the Ouija board because there's a maintenance man under her mother's house.
Yeah.
Now her mother has gone on record and her mother's a reported Wiccan. Her mother is like a solid Wiccan. But because they obviously asked her, what do you know about like these blackbirds? And obviously, you know, they're harbingers. And she's like, what do you know about these blackbirds in these jars under the house? And the mom was like, oh, you put like a blackbird in a jar and this is the reason why you do that. So she knows like somewhat of a remedial level of the dark arts. You know, she's a practitioner. So at that point, I know Wiccans. I'm very close to several Wiccans. And if I were to be experimenting and grabbing like basically a spirit board and going through and doing all of that, any Wiccan I know that's worth their salt would have told me, hey, you need to cut that out. You need to stop that. That is basically, it's a trap.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like your kid finding a shotgun under the house and you're being like, oh yeah, go outside and play with it, Timmy. Hell no, you put that shotgun up. Like, I'm going to protect you. But the mother just kept letting, you know, Darren and her continue to play with it. And then Darren takes it to Randy and shoot, man. Yeah, like, if you read deep into the story, Darren's best friend, Randy, so they do this on a continual basis.
Yeah.
This is what they do for fun. They meet up at Darren's house, at his apartment. They're getting older, maybe after work, so on. And they play with this Ouija board. And by this time, you know, it's got to go further than, hey, Bon Scott, what's going on? Because how many times can you talk to Bon Scott?
Yeah, at this point, it's like,
it's become almost like a demonic obsession.
Yeah.
So Zozo just keeps pulling him in and pulling him in and pulling him in. Well, like I said about what happened to me, so one day the spirit reveals itself and it's talking to Randy and it tells Randy essentially, hey, you are going to burn in hell. And this shakes Randy to the core.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to burn in hell. And then it reiterates and it's like, hey, you're not only going to burn in hell, but when you come to hell, the name that you're going to remember is mine. And so he is even more shook because now he's like, it's revealed itself as Zozo. It's basically, I'm going to hell.
And it's not like one of those one-time things. Now they're so deep into it. They know they're not playing with each other.
Yeah.
Like they know they're not.
They know they're that Darren's not moving the planchet around.
Yeah.
It's moving itself.
Yeah, because both of them, you know, are.
They're obsessed.
Yeah.
And so it tells him that, and then it tells him, you will die at night and you will die alone. And so that night, they were drinking, they were playing, they were doing all that. Zozo goes in and tells Randy that. Randy goes and he takes off. Now, Randy was married because they're older now. So Randy is married. He has, you know, his family set up. Yeah. He's driving home to go home to his wife. He gets in an auto accident and he dies that night. And Darren never sees Randy after that. So, something on the other side of the veil knew what was going to happen to Randy and told him strictly to his face, like, this is what's going to happen. This is how you're going out and everything. And like I said, I've had similar experiences and things have told me things and things have come to light and certain things have not, but 9 out of 10 things that I was told in these situations have come to be. So that's another reason I'm sure Darren is just constantly looking. I bet you he's had several sessions. I mean, he doesn't say anything about it that I can find, but I'm sure he's had several sessions pseudo talking to Randy, you know,
probably
through this.
Yeah. If he's still into it, then yeah, there's probably many times that he's tried to contact Randy, but Yeah, that's crazy stuff, man. Like, I don't know. That's why I don't want to mess with it. Like, there's just stuff out there that has this power. And that's the thing, too, with people who, like, they get into this stuff and they think they have this power that it's theirs. Like, oh, dude, I can do this, this, and that. So, yeah, but it's not your power. You're borrowing it.
Yeah, you're not even borrowing it. The board has, on the right side, it has goodbye. On the left, it says hello. On the right, it says goodbye. You think that you can just shut this down.
Yeah.
But I don't remember who told me this. But I remember in one session when I was younger, I can remember something on the other side, and it was telling me every object in my room. Even like drugs that were hidden in my room.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I had some hits of acid in a little tiny container. It was in a desk drawer, like four drawers down.
Yeah, nobody knew it was there. Yeah.
Only I knew it was there. And it was telling me where every little hidden thing in my room was. And it was telling me everything in my room. And then I was like, how the hell does this thing know where everything is? And then I remember I can't remember who told me this, but I remember that the planchet that we had had like a fisheye lens. And when you were looking in, it didn't really magnify. It just kind of focused.
Yeah.
But if you looked at the planchet from the backside, it magnified and spread out. Like almost like a particulate beam that just spread the light out all throughout.
Yeah.
So if I can see in and I'm only seeing this little focused one syllable, but on the other side, looking the same way in, can see the entire room that I'm sitting in. Yeah, that's the veil right there. That's stuff you don't need to mess with.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't ever want to do that stuff or anything like that. I mean, I'm very intrigued by it, or else we wouldn't be doing this podcast. You know, I'm also very cautious though with what we do and what we talk about. You know, I mean, obviously we'll probably get into more stuff like this, you know, with possessions and stuff like that, but going in protected, I think, is the biggest thing that people forget to do, you know, in a certain way. And I think, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, there's rules to it. You have to do this, do that, say goodbye. And I'm like, yeah, man, but what say our rules, or at least what is written ruled, you know, because, I mean, obviously this has been around for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, what says that it follows those rules, or what says it even cares about, you know?
Well, the weird part about the rules is that, you know, you look into the story of this and you see, like, how old, like, you know, how these stories come from Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
In ancient times, you know, Zozo is mentioned in the French Demonic Encyclopedia from the 1800s. The actual name.
Yeah.
It's just so much of it comes on. You have the Mayan cult of Zotes. You have the Zo people of Burma. You have all of these things. The weird part that I found is, okay, like the blackbirds in the jar.
Yeah.
In the Bosque language, Zozo is crow or blackbird. So it's like, the Malay language, Zozo translate into wandering spirit or the minister of deception. So this word has ancient meanings and ancient translations.
And it all leads up to what people account for and all these, you know.
Yeah, because this story is, you know, this is the 70s that we're talking about with, you know, with Darren Evans.
Yeah.
This is the early 70s that we're talking about. And then you go through and you look at, you know, the possession of Doris Blyther in Los Angeles in 1972, it all correlates together. The Enfield poltergeist of 77 in the UK. And when you do like all this research and you look into it, it's like, it's so prolific. Like you read into it, like the French Encyclopedia of the Demons. Z was originally removed from the Latin alphabet because pronouncing it was considered to be evil. So you look at all this span over time, you know, the Latin alphabet, everything, it's centuries, it's eons old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and to tie it in with what we normally do, which is really kind of, you know, kind of funny, is, well, funny as far as this subject matter can obviously get, is that, you know, Peter Blatty, who directed The Exorcist, he actually was doing studies on Zoso.
Yeah.
And then in research, he went through and he decided that he wasn't going to use the demon's real true name of Zoso. So he used a lesser demon named Pazuzu.
Yeah.
Because it still had the Z vowel, Z vowel.
Yeah.
So that's why it switches around, and that's where Pazuzu.
Oh, even that freaking thing, man. Watching that.
Oh, yeah. The Pazuzu statue. Yeah. And, you know, and the priest having the heart attack, you know, just stroking out right there as the sun sets on, you know, the Habub dust storm coming through and Pazuzu just standing there.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, that's why I just don't. I mean, and I've had, you know, especially being coming from a Latin Hispanic background, you know, there's a lot of people that have that go into that stuff that are, you know, followers of that, you know, with the Santa Muerte and all that. They, you know, and there's just stuff that, you know, they think they have all this power. And then one day it just turns, like it switches, because you're not. It's not yours. Like, you're borrowing it with interest. Like, it's going to, they're going to take more.
The tax collector is going to come.
Yeah. And it's going to, he's going to take more than, you know, what he said he was going to take. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, this whole thing was very intriguing, especially when we brought it up, which was so weird because I talked about wanting to do something different, you know, just besides, you know, what we've done. And it's just so weird that, you know, yeah, this was...
The whole situation was weird. So just to put like a little
go behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, so we recorded on Wednesday last week, and we're recording on Wednesday this week. Well, Damon kind of come up with the idea, hey, you know, a couple of the people got back with comments, and they were kind of saying, you know, like the folklore, kind of spiritual stuff, you know, they kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about that. So yeah. We kind of like spitballed, and we were like, oh, what should we talk about? Now, we're going to a convention here in May in Fort Worth, and we're kind of looking for little, you know, attractions along the way, and we're out here in West Texas, and so on the way there, you have Wichita Falls, and just north of Wichita Falls in Oklahoma is a little city called Lawton. So, I had been looking into Lawton and Wichita Falls because Wichita Falls has the Goat Man,
yeah,
and Lawton has the Zozo House. And so I was like, oh, man, you know, like maybe, you know, roughly it's only an hour away from each other. Maybe we can go up to Oklahoma and check this out. And I really, truthfully, Dame will completely admit this, I hadn't even really, like, thrown this in his direction.
It was mainly us just trying to find, you know, kind of points to go on our trip. And we'll, of course, we'll record, you know, all everything that we've done, you know, on an episode after the trip. But, yeah, we were just kind of, like, pinpointing stuff that we can do, not just go to the con, but also do stuff. You know, on the way there, check out some stuff, kind of build our experience a little bit.
Yeah. And so I got home last Wednesday night, and I had been looking at books on Amazon, and I guess somewhere down the road, I had thrown a book in the Amazon cart. So I get home, and my wife is going to bed, and she's like, oh, hey, there's something on the desk. And so I look on the desk, and there's a book about the Zozo House in Lawton, Oklahoma. And I'm like, oh, snap. So, a few days pass, and Dame reaches out to me again. He's like, hey, if you know, you thought of anything? And I actually texted him that night. I'm like, man, you know, my wife bought me a book, da-da-da. You got to look this up. Got to look these stories up. He's like, oh, man, I think Ghost Adventures went there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, come Saturday and Sunday, we still didn't have a topic. And I obviously, you know, by reading this book, because this book is only... I think it's less than 100 pages.
Because I was going back and forth on, of course, the new releases that have come out. And, of course, you want to be on top of everything. But I think, for me, it was like, man, I really want to do a different subject, especially with seeing some of the comments. So, man, I really want, and some of the feedback that we've gotten, I really wanted to do something different, you know, to, you know, give back to people who listen.
Yeah. And plus, even with, like, a lot of the subject matter that we conquer, a lot of it is, you know, aliens.
Yeah,
the horror of man, serial killers, stuff like that. But really, truthfully, demonically, we haven't even really scratched the surface.
Yeah, we really haven't. We haven't
haven't done exorcism. We haven't done anything like that. We haven't done, you know, exorcist. We haven't done any of that. So when that came up, I don't know, something just took a hold of me, and I was like, man, I'm going to deep dive on this subject. And that's what I did. And I went in and I, you know, I got a lot of information from a lot, way too many sources to even like give yeah. a shout out to. For anybody posting anything about it, thank you, because this is like literally, this is like a casserole of everything that everybody has out there floating around on the internet. And that's just where this came from. But I find it like almost eerie that it all came together like this.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
And that's why I did have to pray about it. I was like, man, it's just a weird thing that this is all kind of connecting together. But, you know, I think if we handle it the right way, I think, you know, we're fine. We're not going into, we're not doing any.
Yeah. And that's why I'm, like yeah, that, and, so. And that's why I'm definitely putting it out there, is that I think also with a lot of the stuff that I even studied and deep dived, like, yes, I, you know, this is entertainment. I'm going to let you know that this is entertainment. The stories that I'm telling you of my own personal recollections, they're completely 100% true. And they're why I'm telling you that you need to beware what you invite around yourself.
Yeah, you've have more experience than me. I mean, obviously, you're older than me, but, you know, and I've seen stuff too. But, yeah, you've experienced different things than me, way more stuff than me. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm not.
Yeah, and so I throw this disclaimer out there, you know, like if you're, you know, 14 years old and you're, you know, shoot, they're everywhere. Where was I the other day? I mean, at Barnes & Noble's. Oh, there's a Ouija board.
Yeah.
Every game store I go to, oh, there's a Ouija board. Oh, look, now with a glow-in-the-dark planchette. Like, yeah. And I'm just like, dude, you're like...
There's themed Ouija boards now. There's, you know, stuff like that, which I get it. You know, if this is your... Especially if it's a belief system, you know, you already know what you're doing. Obviously, you already are very educated in that, you know, line. You know, we don't need to tell you what not to do, what to do. You're your own person, and you probably have lived most of that your whole life. But mainly to people who are very curious about it and who want to dive into it, especially just dive in head first and not even.
Yeah. If you're using the arts, then you already know how to use them. I don't need to advise you of anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, to anyone who's just like piqued and like their curiosity is like, oh man, this Zozo is like, no. No, that's not a good character.
Yeah, you just got to protect yourself, you know, because, you know, you never know what's out there. A lot of us think that, you know, we think we know everything and we want to, you know, be like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I know who I'm talking to. It's like, do you though? And, you know, if people can change up that quick, you know, what says the spirit that you can't even see can change up that quick, you know?
Well, so, like I thought the Bon Scott story was cool with smoking a cigarette. Like, that threw me out. I was like, man, that's actually some really, like, crazy stuff.
That's
like,
some metal stuff.
Absolutely. Like, dude, that's, you know, that's Eddie from Stranger Things level, like stellar stuff. But, you know, then you look at it and it's like, no, because 5 minutes later it's telling, you know, Randy that, hey, you're done. Like, just, you know, you just have to totally be aware. And
yeah, just be safe. Yeah. I mean, because this stuff is intriguing. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing it if we weren't intrigued. You know, but obsession and being intrigued by something are two very, very, very different things. So just be careful, you know. People are going to do what they want to do, so.
But it's like with anything, you know, just like the movies that you watch, the things that you put around yourself, you've got to, you know.
It's what you invite into your life.
Absolutely.
So, but I mean, the story, man, it just has so much.
Oh, absolutely. Like, this is just like scratching the surface. This is like one layer of an onion that goes on and on and on forever.
Yeah. And I feel like Ghost Avengers didn't do it justice.
I feel like they did what they could do with it.
Yeah. And that's probably what it is. Yeah.
It wasn't horrible, but I mean, come on. Like, we've been talking for almost an hour and we don't even have any filler. We don't even have any guest. It's not even like we're like, hey, Darren, how do you feel? It's like, you know, we're just going through and we're scratching the surface. They have to have beginning, middle, and end all wrapped up.
In 30 minutes.
In 35, 40 minutes, because you have commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And they've got the characters that they have to introduce you to. This is Darren. This is Darren's girlfriend. And his new girlfriend or whatever in the Ghost Adventure. I don't remember her name.
I don't either.
Yeah. And the handyman. Like, I don't remember his name.
That's just handyman.
No offense to the Oklahoma handyman.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I mean, this, yeah, getting into it, I mean, going back to the written encounter, or Dictionnaire Infernal that was written by, Jacques Collin de Plancy, which has the account of the girl who said she was possessed by, Zozo that she would walk, crawl down the street, or she would crawl backwards down the street. And at some times she would do it on her hands.
Like the spider walk in The Exorcist.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she would just do like handstanding, like hand walking down the street, just on her hands with her feet up in the air, and didn't care, you know, who saw what, you know, she just did that. And, you know, she was, obviously she was taken in, cause you know, she was seen as crazy. And apparently, supposedly, and I'm, apologies for the dog barking if y'all can hear that on, you know, on mic, neighbors. Yeah. So, but yeah, hearing the dog, I mean, hearing the dog, see the dogs, but you would think that somebody would have done an exorcism at that point. Instead, they took her to a psych ward, if I remember correctly. And, but she would say that she was possessed by three demons. It was Mimi. It was a Capulet or a Grabulet, or I can't remember the other name for it.
Yeah.
And Zozo. So it's just weird that even in that encounter, like, it's still there. And again, it goes back to it being interpreted as many demons, such as Legion. So, there's just so much into it. Of course, there was never anything else about her after that, after she was taken in, because who knows what they
did back then. I mean, that was modern medicine at the time, much like our modern medicine today. You could be like, you know, your mind could be inhabited by 1,000 demons, and they're just going to tell you you're schizophrenic.
Yeah.
That's all they're going to do. They're going to, oh, here, take this, you know. Take this pill that definitely, like,
not saying that all schizophrenic people.
Absolutely not. No, but that's what they would diagnose you as, because you multiply faceted.
Yeah.
So they would just, you know, they'd give you some diagnoses and
just drug you up. That's it.
Pfizer would dime you out and you'd be done for days. Yeah. That's how it works.
But
not saying that, like, you know, modern medicine or, you know, psychotherapy is all a hoax. Not by any means, like, it's definitely helpful.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, it's a necessity. But yes, back then, and even in current situations today, it's misuse by power. It does happen.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, yeah. But back to Darren's story, I mean, it doesn't just stop at back in the, you know, when his friend passed away. I mean, there was even stuff with his daughter that, because he was still, again, talking. Why? I don't. I mean, obsession of this, this thing.
The fact that he moved, okay, this all, depending on what you read, I don't know, maybe it's something kind of like the Dodgers. Brooklyn still wants to claim the Dodgers, but they're obviously a Los Angeles team. And so it's like, oh, well, the Dodgers were reserved for Brooklyn. So Lawton and Oklahoma City have like this the Zozo rivalry, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Because certain accountings, and I don't know if because they're not really in super close proximity, but they just keep going back and forth like, no, this happened in Lawton because the Zozo house is in Lawton. No, this happened in Oklahoma City.
Well, it could that's be just like with Dallas, you know. Yeah. Oh, this happened in Irving. Oh, yeah. But in the generalization, it's going to be, oh, it just happened in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
I guess, but that's a lot of distance. I mean, it's over 100 miles.
True, yeah.
So that's a lot of distance. And now Oklahoma's not as spread out a state as we here in Texas are. But so to what I'm getting at, Darren moves. And it's like, oh, man, there's strange stuff happening around in my house. There's stuff moving. Lights are coming on. This, that, that. I'm seeing shadow people. Da-da. Man, this is weird, bro. I'm going to move here. So he moves to another house. And then he proceeds with the same behavior.
Yeah, it's...
It's like, oh, man, you know what? I keep eating and putting all my stuff in the kitchen. There's a stack of dishes. Man, this is weird. I'm eating 3-4 times a day, and there's dishes everywhere. Yeah. Holy, where's all this crap coming from? Jeez, you know what? I'm just going to sell the house. I'm going to move. I'm going to move to, I don't know.
And that's what it could be, also the demon working on him, too, playing with his mind. Like,
oh, yeah,
He wants to get away from it, but this thing's like, no, man, like, hey, like, I got, you know, it's like a dog, you know, a dog wants to be scared of you, but you keep putting out food and treats and it's like, yeah, come on, man. Like, it's like, you know, it's just one of those things where
he even built like little special, like boxes and stuff for it.
Yeah.
He built little special places in his home for, you know, for the Oracle. And it's like, okay. Like, but then, like I said, he goes through and he moves to other areas and then he picks the, you know, but then that also kind of like rings, you know, that kind of rings to something biblical, you know, about, you know, the fact that a dog will return to its vomit.
Yeah.
So it, you know, kind of stands to reason that, you know.
Yeah. But I think once his daughter's life was at stake, I think that's when he at least slowed down, because obviously he hasn't quit.
Yeah, he's still doing, like I said, he still has like little
seances and you know, stuff like that. But the incident with his, or at least the one I read that I have, is talking with Zozo, and he threatened his daughter's life, saying that he wanted her soul, or it wanted her soul. And he goes to check on his daughter because his wife, I believe, or girlfriend, was giving her a bath. Found her in there with the tub overflowing and her just drowning in the water. Girlfriend, wife, nowhere to be found. And it's like, dude, that's just weird stuff. And unfortunately, you know, she had to be taken to the hospital. Luckily, she was okay. She did, like, have an, from what I read, like an infection or something like that. You know, she was, you know, stuff like that happened to her, but she was fine. But just that itself, it's like, man, you know, you gotta back off of it. Like,
that's when I don't talk to you anymore. I mean, that's just, yeah. You know, that's logic. That's when, you know.
Yeah.
The whole Randy thing would have put me off.
Yeah, that one right
there. Randy would have just stopped me dead in my tracks. I mean, I lost a lot of friends growing up. And, like, literally, like, if you told me, if I was sitting there with my best friend, which I had a lot of experiences with, if the thing came out and was like, hey, you know, hey, I don't know, Tim, guess what's going to happen? You know, you're going to die all alone by yourself, choking on your own blood. And then Tim is, like, walking home, and he, you know, gets hit by a car. And he dies on the side of the road, choking on his own blood. I'm not talking to you no more.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm going to go, like, make my peace with Tim.
Like, I'm going to dismantle the board. I'm breaking it, burning it, and I'm, yeah. And I'm.
But see, that's the weird thing. In a lot of these cases, in a lot of situations I've even had in my life, trying to get rid of it is not going to happen. Yeah. It's going to keep coming back around. It's going to reappear. Because I'm wondering how the hell he even got it out of the girlfriend's house.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he did. I don't think he ever did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he got rid of it.
Yeah, Darren took it from the girlfriend's house. From his first girlfriend's house, from Brandy's house. Now, her mother was Wiccan. Brandy and Mama were holding on to the board. How did Darren? I mean, maybe he just, you know, maybe he's that good. Maybe he was just like, hey, I want to take this thing away. And maybe they were like, dude, that thing's full of evil and malice. Get it the hell out of my house. And he just, and moved it into his apartment.
Yeah, that's just.
I don't know. But like I said, this story has so many different facets to it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Yes.
It shows you, like, the power and the force. So, I mean, like I said, I got a ton out of this investigation.
Yeah.
But I can tell you tonight I'm going home and I'm making my peace because, you know, I'm going to put these notes away and they're going to do their thing. And I'm probably not going to talk about this for a while.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I mean, we got plenty of movies to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
We do our next, you know, folklore or whatever we do. But yeah, man, these things are really, really, really intriguing. You know, in stories I've read, you know, just, you know, people have been fine. Some stories I've read, people are still haunted to this day, you know, by this demon. So, you know, yeah, just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff, man. But it is I'm always excited to get into stuff like this, but also very cautious, of course. You know, I know people are like, dude, y'all just stop lecturing us about being cautious. But no, this stuff is very, very intriguing. I like it a lot. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, just don't get addicted.
Yeah, don't get addicted. But that was our little touch on Zozo. I do have one more story, though. I found on Reddit. It was posted 7 years ago on the subreddit Let's Read Official, posted by Spooky Emo Boy. It's about his personal encounter with the demon Zozo. This is supposedly true, but hey, man, it just takes one story to be true for it to be, you know, real. So I'm just going to read it how he posts it. I tried to edit it a little bit, but it's kind of hard. But here it is. He says, in the late summer of 2017 began a strange phase in his life that led to a sequence of paranormal events that haunt. I'll just read it in his point of view, that haunt me to this day and will haunt me forever. For about August to October is the timeline for these events. I started watching these videos on YouTube about stupid 3 a.m. challenges, knowing most of them were fake, However, a few really did intrigue me. One known as the closet game, especially, and the use of the Ouija board. In my garage, I played the closet game in this small room within the garage. Nothing really worked. I'm sorry for that dog. That's just, God, just taking me out. I played the closet game. Nothing really worked, but I do recall always getting bad vibes from that room ever since then. I started playing with a Ouija board first with friends. I then started playing it alone to see if it would work. You're never supposed to play alone, and I still did it. I played so often, talking to many different entities. Eventually, I started talking to Zozo. I knew Zozo was bad from the start. I have seen all about him on YouTube and read up extensively, doing my own research on what the name was based from and why they use it. I say they because I believe that Zozo is not a real name. I believe that it's a trick name Battisburgers use to gain power, which I've read that too. There's many accounts where people are like, no, this is this and this and this, or it's, yeah. But demons are tricky like that. They can do what they want. I eventually became obsessed with the board and Zozo, speaking to him almost every day, which is the same pattern that Darren had. Yeah. Almost every day and night, just casually laughing as he threatened me, knowing that he really couldn't do much. That's what I thought, at least. However, I started to notice some changes. One night, I decided to play the Ouija board in the room I played the closet game in. After all, it did give me bad vibes, so I, being the idiot I am, decided, sure. As I played alone in this room by myself, there sat an old TV that was not plugged in. I could see my own reflection somewhat cloudy in the TV, but it was easy to make out features of myself. I began to play the board, and as always, Zozo appeared. Whenever I would talk to him, I never had fear, and I knew he was a demon. I believe he knew this, and the fact that I was still talking to him made him somewhat calmer, or at least he thought. He was always very calm with me, and when I would ask questions, he would respond respectfully. Me and him would tease each other often. I asked where he was sitting, and the planchette pointed directly in front of me, where the TV was. I asked if he could do something in some way to show himself to me, and moved swiftly to yes. I quickly asked what he was going to do, and the planchette moved to the center of the board and forward. I didn't understand at first, but I realized that he was what he was pointing at. I looked up at the TV and watched in horror as my reflection began to morph into a horrific creature. It somewhat still held some of my features, i.e. my hair and clothes. However, the eyes went pitch black, looking like holes. It was like staring into a deep abyss. The eyes were not just circular. They seemed like they were dripping, almost the darkness slowly dripping down out of the reflection's eyes. The mouth was, hilariously enough, exactly like the Scream mask. It looked horrific, but also cliche, so I'm not sure if this was genuinely an experience or not, but it was very interesting, to say the least. On another day, my friend came over, and me and him were smoking in my garage. I know, again, that you're never supposed to play the Ouija board in an altered state of mind, but at this point, I did not know that Zozo had influence over me. I go to play the board, asking if my friend wanted to join. He politely refused, and I played alone again, talking with Zozo. I got bored, of course, as I always talk to Zozo, and decided just to put the board away. I got out of my box of knives and was showing my friend my collection. We started feeling weird energy in the air, like static. Like static electricity, pulling your hair towards it. It was like that everywhere. I thought that it was just me, so funnily went to touch my friend to shock him. However, it didn't work. He was also feeling the static energy, and as quickly as it came, it vanished. I started spacing out after this. Apparently, I had grabbed one of my knives and very slowly put it to my neck and started leaning my head on it, as if I was about to slice my own throat. When I came to, I felt the knife pressed against my neck and was confused. My friend, not paying attention to me and on the computer, at that moment, I knew immediately that I could no longer play the board. So I promised myself that I would never play it again and put it away in my closet. About three times a week, I would find myself unaware reaching for the board, even though I promised I would never play this. This is when I realized I was under demonic influence. I have since cleaned myself of this and am okay now, but I still have one more story. So he has one more story to tell. One night, I was sneaking out of my house, and I went to hop the gate that leads into the alley so I could get out of my backyard. Once I hopped the gate, I started walking out the alley when I extremely distinctly heard a loud whisper come back in a sinister tone. I screamed like a little girl and ran to my car to get the hell out of there. The very same night, once I got home around 3 a.m., at the time, I wasn't aware it was 3, I decided to open my third eye in the bathroom. A lot of people have their own opinion about whether it works or not, and I'm fully aware that people have their doubts, and that's okay, because I didn't believe it at first either, but it does work. Anyways, back to the point, I was opening my third eye, and right when I felt the energy very furiously tingling my forehead as it opened, I heard a demonic laugh. Three little laughs that sound like they were from a horrific creature. I ran out of the bathroom and felt a malicious energy behind me. I ran to my room and closed my eyes and prayed so hard to ask God for forgiveness because I had did something that I shouldn't have and asked him for help. Immediately, I felt the horrible energy dissipate. I haven't dabbled in the paranormal much since, but I do still have odd occurrences here and there. And that's his story. And that one was... That's crazy. But it's just as similar to Darren's. I mean, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, with many, many stories that I've read.
Especially doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
I've heard that for years, that, you know, approaching, you know, the Ouija board by yourself is just, it's just asking for problems. But
yeah, man. But that's just a little cherry on top of this episode that I wanted to put in there. But yeah, man, it's just crazy stuff. So thank y'all for listening. Hope y'all enjoyed this episode or at least got a little spooked. You know, we'll try to do some more in the future. And yeah, that was our little episode on demonic entities.
Yeah, and if you have a, you know, Zozo story of your own.
Yeah, please.
Anything you'd like to share, you know.
Or any kind of paranormal encounter.
Absolutely, yeah.
We could take them down and share them here on the podcast when we do just a specific, you know, ghost story episode to share. But yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. And again, follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode. If not, hey, Podcast Petrified 24. That's our little handle on Instagram. Please share this anywhere and everywhere and, you know, tell people about us, you know, spread it around. We do need the help. You know, it always helps when you spread it around. And yeah, we will see y'all
next week.